Greetings and salutations. We are Pop Culture. And welcome back. Your assignment is, if you choose to take it. No, wait, that's the wrong.
Mission Impossible.
Sorry. Hey, folks, welcome back.
Which was probably partly inspired by.
Well, sure. So was Get Smart.
Yep.
Hey, we're ahead of ourselves already.
Not this podcast, though.
No. this is Pop Culture, and I am your host, as pretty much always, Brian Burchett Ross. And as usual, with me today on our porch, I have the gang back. We have
David War.
We have
Robert Yeoman.
We have
Jeff Finlay.
And we have
Roberts.
And welcome back, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Such enthusiasm in this room today.
No.
I'm here.
Trying to keep it a little British.
Reserved. We're just all reserved.
Still sex, please.
Stiff
we're British.
Upper lip. Stiff upper lip.
I think that's a comedy.
Please,
what's it?
Please.
Yeah. That was a play,
maybe.
Said liver.
No sex, I'm please. British. We're British.
Yeah, we don't want to be on British.
No.
Not at all. Hey. Today, before we begin our discussion on Bond, James Bond, I want to ask you guys.
He's been to Scotland. He knows the accent.
Yeah, I don't do it well, but I know it. have any of you seen season 2 of Ted?
Yes.
Most of it, yes.
Most of it?
All of it.
Oh, you've seen all of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only seen up until the episode that I texted you guys about, but if anybody out there enjoys the McFarlane humor, Seth McFarlane humor, I personally thought so far that he has been hitting all the right notes on this season.
It's sort of a little tangent. Happy birthday to Ron McFarlane, which is apparently today as we are recording, Seth MacFarlane's father. He turns 80.
Oh, how nice. Yes, and we are.
I came across my Instagram feed this morning. So.
Oh, March 28th.
You know, I just have to say, this is a spoiler, so if you want to
move been yesterday. I don't know.
10 seconds, but one of my favorite lines ever, and I laugh every time I think about this, is when he's looking at the newspaper. Damn Beetle Bailey fucking off on my tax dollars. It's just like, come on. Wow.
Yeah. And that's what I love about this show is on Peacock. It's streaming on Peacock. And they get to say everything that you gets bleeped in Family Guy. But I will have to say, for those of you who do enjoy it, there is an episode, and I don't know the title of it, where the young man and Ted end up in a production of Camelot.
Yes.
And I think that one, even my husband, who sits there mostly just judging, just laughed his butt off. It was just, it was prime, McFarlane.
Stoners and teddy bears, if you know, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but we're not here to really discuss Ted or teddy bears. We are here to discuss James Bond, the great and mighty James Bond.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you said Gold Bond.
I love
God
that stuff.
I'm going to throw away all my notes.
I thought you brought some with you to demonstrate.
I'm sure I've got some on me. Hang on.
We don't want stuff you're wearing.
Anyway. And we're off.
You've always been off.
That's very true, Bob. So, you know, let me do my usual notes. Okay. I'm just going to skip a lot, but...
see you all back here. About 10?
That's fine.
Everybody all right. Go get a half a sandwich.
Of course, Bond game, James Bond was created by Ian Lancaster Fleming. His first novel, Casino Royale, in 1960 something or 50 something maybe.
I say that.
52
it was the 50s.
In 1952. Ian was connected to a very wealthy family. His father was connected to the Merchant Bank, Robert Fleming and Company. His father was the Member of Parliament for Henley. I don't know what that is, from 1910 until his death on the Western Front in 1917. So his father died in World War I. He was educated at Eton, Sandhurst, and briefly the universities of Munich and Geneva. And he moved through several jobs before writing. While working for Britain's Naval Intelligence Division during the Second World War, he was involved in planning Operation Goldeneye. And in the planning and oversight of two intelligent units, 30 Assault Unit and T-Force, And he obviously drew from his wartime experiences when creating Bond. Again, he wrote his first novel, Casino Royale, in 52 at age 44. It was a success, and three print runs were commissioned to meet the demand. 11 Bond novels and two collections of short stories followed between 53 and 66, of course, centering around James Bond, an officer in the Secret Intelligence Service, commonly known as MI6. I actually got to see that building when I was visiting London. Oh. It's very unobtrusive, but it's a cool-looking building. It really is, which they eventually used in, I think, the newest, in Craig's. They actually were able to, to film that.
Before they blew it up.
Before they blew it up, yeah. And, of course, one of my favorite things to mention when it comes to Ian Fleming himself is that he also wrote the children's story Chitty Chitty Bang Bang in 1964. And really, if you look at, even if you just watch the movie, don't read the book, there are so many Bond-esque things in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, all the stuff the car does.
Yeah. The car is, well, and even the, I mean, look at the name of the title name of the girl, the Dick Van Dyke's love interest.
I don't remember her name.
Truly Scrumptious.
Truly Scrumptious.
Truly Scrumptious.
I mean, it's like, okay, that's a Bond chick if you ever, you know.
There's two people that were in the Bond movies that were in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as well.
And they were?
The one that played Q, he played the one that sold the car.
Oh.
And then the king played Goldfinger.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Ulrich Goldfinger. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Benny Hill and Benny Van Dyke. Hill,
I don't remember Benny Hill in a Bond movie, but I would love to have seen that.
I don't think he was.
Could you imagine?
He should have played. He should play
Bond chasing. Yeah, Bond chasing Benny Hill with the music.
And a lot of sexy parties.
And now for something completely different. James Bond, of course, himself, the character was a commander and in the Navy. Let's see. And Ian Fleming's final two books, The Man with the Golden Gun and Octopussy, and The Living Daylights, which were combined, Octopussy and Living Daylights were two short stories, were published posthumously. I got that right. I'm so proud of that. Fleming took the name of his character from that of an American ornithologist, Dr. James Bond, an expert on Caribbean birds.
So then you could infer that the bird is the word.
But the bird.
I was saying,
while we
bird, of course, was slang in the 60s for a young woman.
Well, young woman, you're right.
It's British slang.
So. You're right. I hadn't thought of that then. Yeah, you're right.
So it may be a very inside joke of his.
He was noted as saying that he wrote the first one in 1953, and he wanted Bond to be an extremely dull, uninteresting man to whom things happened. I wanted him to be a blunt instrument. When I was casting around for a name for my protagonist, I thought, by God, James Bond is the dullest name I have ever heard. So,
well, and frankly, you want a spy whose name doesn't stand out.
Yeah, exactly. Even though everybody ended up knowing the name. Facially, Bond resembled, he felt Bond should resemble the composer, singer, and actor Hoagy Carmichael. And
he was on the Flintstones.
Yes, he was. And he was...
I'm reaching for it here, Hoagy.
And he was... where was I on that? Oh, and he was also, and he was, as mentioned, Hoagy was mentioned in the first book, Casino Royale, that Vesper, when he meets Vesper, Vesper says, oh, you remind me of Hoagy, or
now,
remind me of
Hoagy. You do realize there were two Casino Royales.
Yes, there was. Yeah. There was the comedy.
There was a comedy, which somebody played Bond.
Oh, you're talking about the movies.
Right, yeah. The movies. Yeah. And then there was...
And then the one Daniel Craig.
The good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that the other one wasn't good.
Yeah.
It was god-awful.
Well,
good music.
It was a... Yeah. Well, it's because they ended up with, three different directors, and they just couldn't get a handle on it.
It was a... Yeah. It was a,
it's a shame.
Kind of a mess.
It kind of started off as kind of a neat parody.
Yeah.
One of the things I read, They basically, that was the original plan, was to have three different directors, three shooting scripts, and they all merge at the end for the grand finale.
Oh. Mm.
And then it was so god-awful when they saw it in previews and went, no, they just, this isn't what we wanted, but we're done with it.
Mm. Mm. But, yeah. You know, we had the Tijuana Brass providing that wonderful music for it.
and there you go. Yeah. While Fleming wrote on Her Majesty's Secret Service, Dr. No was being filmed in Jamaica. And actually, Ian Fleming admitted that that the influence of casting Scottish actor Sean Connery gave Ian the idea of finally giving Bond an ancestry of Scottish lineage. Some Scottish, lineage, as well as
Irishmen end up playing him too, right?
Oh yeah, I think I don't know. Was Roger Moore British?
I think he was British, but
I don't know. But
Lazenby was Australian.
Lazenby was Australian.
Yeah. But I was thinking of
Daniel Craig? Pierce Bronson.
Pierce
Bronson, thank you.
Yeah, he was Irish. So Irish. Everybody
is Irish.
The only one who hasn't played a Bond yet is a whale. Anyway,
there and talk right now.
It was another Orson Welles.
What? That's better.
It's been a while since we've all been on this. Been around, folks. And he also started to give him a bit of a sense of humor after seeing what Connery was doing and the scripts were going. So really, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, which I have not read yet, is where kind of the bond of the movie began to influence his later books.
You know, you watching some of the other actors that beyond Connery trying to do the humor thing. It just, I think they even like Daniel Craig was almost like painstakingly trying to give the the quips. He lost his head on that one. It just didn't fit. It just didn't seem like to fit with it did with even with Roger Moore.
With Moore, they were started to move it over the top, I thought.
Especially
the later movies, it was like they were going almost forward to the humor as opposed
exactly,
to the
exactly. Yeah. It was too much.
Batman
too much.
Is popular.
Yeah. It very much became tongue-in-cheek, more of a wink to the audience. Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I think Moore played Bond longer than anyone else.
He did.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of the history of Ian Fleming and the Bond character. Now, I came across, before we start the our getting to know you question and getting into these films, I thought I went down a rabbit hole and found that Esquire ranked the Bond films from worst to best, including the Daniel Craig ones.
Well, there's been other people that have rated them too, but I'm interested to see what your show.
Well, and I have to say I don't agree with some of these.
I'm shocked.
I know, because I'm a huge Bond fan, and I'm in the middle of reading
like 50
the books.
Of them, so
the 25.
Be hard.
I know.
Does it include both Casino Royales?
No, just
the in-universe ones.
So the in-universe
for the purpose of the quiz. does any of the first Casino Royale have anything to do with this?
Oh,
I think he just ruined it.
Oh.
Because technically David Niven's was a Bond as well.
Yeah, David Niven's like, whatever. Thanks, Joe.
This is how he wins.
I just want to make sure energy is...
Woody Allen was a James Bond.
Go ahead, sir.
He was Jimmy Bond.
He was Jimmy.
I always subscribe to the theory that James Bond, and there's nothing in the books or the movies to indicate this, but I always like that James Bond was the title of the top agent.
Oh yeah,
Then you can keep everything kind of in a linear.
It's the Dr. Who effect,
and it's like this is just
like Daniel Craig's in Skyfall. I mean, Skyfall was actually his. I mean, adoptive, I guess.
You could just basically new actor playing Bond because the other one got killed or whatever, and
right.
I'm now James Bond.
Correct.
And depending on if they continue, I don't know if anybody saw the final Craig movie.
Yes.
They could.
Right now they are searching.
That's the first time I've ever seen, spoiler alert, folks, it's the first time I've ever seen Bond die in a movie.
Yeah.
What?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, that's true. He could have, who knows?
We only saw from a distance. We didn't see, you know, they didn't show the body.
No, but those missiles were right there.
They never show the body. Now we know Daniel Craig will not be the next Bond.
He said that was the whole thing. He was done even before the last one.
Sure.
And he said, I'll only come back, but you got to kill me off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like Harrison Ford.
A Harrison Ford move. Yeah.
Nimoy.
Yeah.
He'll be a force.
They'll probably do.
Oh, that'd be great.
My guess is they'll do what they did when Daniel Craig came on the scene. It's like, we're just rebooting it.
Yeah, resetting.
Here's another series.
Anyway, here's what Esquire said for his ranking. The 25th in last place was Die Another Day, which was a Pierce Brosnan.
I've heard that, yeah.
And Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And I didn't care for any of the Pierce Brosnan movies. I didn't mind him as Bond. I just thought the movies were kind of weak. But that one had what I thought was one of the better openings, which was when he was a prisoner in North Korea and was being tortured. Because if you read the Bond books, the one thing always happens to Bond in the books is he never walks out of any situation unscathed.
Yeah. Right.
He is beaten and broken constantly, which I like. Which the movies kind of usually brush over, other than Craig finally.
Right,
I think Craig Bond did more of that. Anyway, number 24, the ever popular Roger Moore, Moonraker.
With Jaws and Swiss Miss.
Yep. And that one.
And of course, it only really. I know you've read some of the books as well.
And Moonraker is one I've read.
And Moonraker is so different than the movie. It's like they took the title and said, but that's all we're doing.
That's all we're doing.
That would be par for that course.
Yeah.
Yeah. The book was so much better in that particular case.
But the book was rooted in its time period, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Number 23 was Pierce Brosnan's The World Is Not Enough. I don't know. I don't remember that one.
They
were on top of the bridge. In the poster.
No, that was A View to a Kill, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
You're right, it was. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And I've seen them all, but they blur together after a while.
They do. A lot of them do. Number 22 was Pierce Brosnan's Tomorrow Never Dies.
I just think they didn't like Pierce Brosnan.
I'm starting
to think that.
Yeah. Number 21 was Daniel Craig's Spectre. Which was the Christopher Waltz as Blofeld.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that the plot was just extremely weak, and the surprise of Christopher Waltz actually playing Blofeld just fell flat. It wasn't as big of a surprise.
To me, it was with Spectre. It was like, finally, we're getting to James Bond.
Yeah. Well, but I personally, and again, spoilers here, folks, you're going to get them a lot through this episode, so don't tune out. Just turn off for a second. I know, it's kind of weird.
I'm sorry, I tuned out for a second.
The fact that not you guys.
It's the quiz.
The fact that Blofeld ended up being Bond's brother.
Yeah, that was that was
a bit. You didn't need to go down that road, in my opinion.
I think I can agree to them that they kind of brought this. We're finally bringing Inspector, the anti-agency kind of thing,
right? Right.
And then it was like, okay,
yeah.
But to me, it was just like Spectre should have been in the background.
Yeah, we should have had the Cone of Silence.
That's chaos. Okay. Number 20.
What else describes this?
Dalton's The Living Daylights. Now, I will say Dalton was my least favorite Bond of all. Pierce, I thought, had shakier movies, but Dalton, for me, but we'll get to that with the quiz.
Well, he wasn't long-lived. I mean, George Lazenby only did one, but Dalton was only in two or three, wasn't he?
So George Lazenby, they did offer him. So what happened?
Yeah,
he
chose to step away.
Yeah, they did on Her Majesty's Secret Service because Sean Connery said, I'm done.
Right.
And then George Lazenby, after the one movie, said, I'm done. So they had to pay Sean Connery a buttload of money to come back as Diamonds Are Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he was done. But he said the same thing that a lot of actors that were offered the ability. He says, I don't want to be pigeonholed in this thing. I don't want to be You know, right. But then after that, what did he do? I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't do much.
When you have only one choice, you can't go, oh, I want a different choice. You've already cast it.
Yeah. Took a while, but Indiana Jones. As the father.
Shall never
Harrison Ford,
that
though, that's the one role Harrison Ford embraced and never said. That's the one actor, one role Harrison Ford, I think, said, oh, I'll be this for the rest of my life.
I'm saying Sean Connery went on to be Harrison
Ford.
Yeah. Which,
his father.
My favorite Indiana Jones movie of all time. How you doing, Ron?
I'm good.
Good. Have you watched any Bond, Ron?
I mean, it's a personal question, and I think that they're all just great movies. And
okay. Number.
It's a safe answer.
Yeah.
What just happened?
No, we're just moving on, Bob. Number 19 was No Time to Die, which was Daniel Craig's final movie. I like the whole child. He had a kid, does end up in the books as well, that he has a kid, only it's a boy in the books and a girl in the movies. Number 18 was Diamonds Are Forever, which was Connery's last one. And Jill St. John as Tiffany Case. I think that was the name, Tiffany Case. And, of course, they had the gay assassins. The gay assassin couple, which was not broadcast, but it was very there.
Crispin Glover's dad.
They had a villain. We're going to make him gay. Just make him gay.
And Ian Fleming was kind of vocal about, and it's in his books, you can tell that he was a bit, I don't want to say homophobic, but he didn't like he had friends. He was a great friend with Noel Coward, but he just did not believe in that. And that comes across in several of his books. The next one, 17, Roger Moore, The Man with the Golden Gun. Now, at this point, in my opinion, we're getting into the worst of the best. I like The Man with the Golden Gun. First of all, Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays a great villain. And then we had the plane-to-plane guy.
Hervé
Villechaize. I love the ending to that one as well. I love that whole hunting each other.
When he was dropped off with the white suit.
That was Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah. Number 16, Quantum of Solace. That was a Daniel Craig.
Yeah, that was my least favorite of the Daniel Craigs.
I think that was everybody's least favorite of the Daniel Craigs that I know of. I mean, it's talked about
as
the least
favorite.
I had
trouble following the plot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And by the time we got to the end, I was just happy it was over.
Where are we at? Why? What? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very loose plot. Number 15, Live and Let Die, Roger Moore, Scaramanga.
Great, great song. Live and Let Die.
Boom. And honestly, up to the books that I've read, this Live and Let Die is my favorite. It's again different than the movie to a certain extent. They do have a little bit of the voodoo in there and that sort of thing, but boy, the book in that is great, and it shows. And I noticed it, and I can tell you, page 137, that because I knew when I did this, I was like, I want to point this out. He did not. Ian Fleming, who toured America and all that, loved and ended up having a place in the Bahamas.
Oh.
He loved the Bahamas. He loved that whole area. In fact, his estate was called Goldeneye.
Oh.
But he could not stay in Florida. Even back in the 1950s and 60s, he couldn't stay in Florida. He says some very negative things in that book about Florida, which I thought was amusing.
You know, something about Living Let Die, just real quick. So the gun that Bond used, it was a PPK.
Walther PPK.
Yeah, which I had one. But a 357 that he used in the movie, especially when he was coming back, which at the same time I think it was inspired by
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, yeah,
the Dirty Harry movies.
Dirty Harry movies, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh look, that's a popular gun.
Yep.
I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see that. Number 14. You Only Live Twice, Connery. Before you. That was the one where Bond dies at the beginning. He's poisoned, but then comes back as an Asian
person. For no reason.
Now, I will say, to me, the best Blofeld was in this one, and that was Donald Pleasance. Donald Pleasance played, to me, the perfect Blofeld in that one.
He's just a good, evil person.
Oh, he is. 13 for Your Eyes Only. Again, great song. Mm-hmm. I love the Sheena Easton song. And I thought for more, I thought that was his best, in my opinion.
Best of the worst.
Because it was the most serious, I think, of all the ones he did. It was the less tongue-in-cheek. And at the beginning, I don't know if you remember now, but at the beginning, there's a beautiful nod to him laying the flowers at his wife's grave.
Oh, yes.
Right before Blofeld attacks him for the final time, and he dumps Blofeld in the wheelchair.
Is that the one where he goes into the smokestack?
Yeah, and Blofeld.
On a helicopter.
Never saw a body.
And that whole sequence, frankly, struck me as I don't know why they did it. It was just like, okay, so you're supposedly funny.
Yeah.
I think was the idea was some level of humor, and then it was like, okay, but we're done with this character. We're never going back to this again.
Yeah. And I didn't get that either, but I did love the nod.
Did they have some sort of fallout with...
I know.
When you notice, they never showed his face either. It was always the back of his head. They never showed.
Yeah, in that one, yeah.
And he petted his pussy.
Yes, well, he did that a lot, too. Number 12 was a view to a Kill.
The cat went on to work in Inspector Gadget, so don't worry about the cat.
Christopher Walken was an excellent.
A View to a Kill, Christopher Walken is what made that. And Grace Jones actually made
that. Good song, too.
Excellent song. And it was Moore's last appearance, and that was the one with the final fight on top of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
But that was the poster I was thinking.
And the blimp. But I will have to say, at that point, Moore was really showing his age.
Oh, and he was, and I think, was it you that told me? Somebody said, it was my son told me this, that he really didn't want to do that because he was already at that point where some of the Bond girls were just way younger than him.
And I do remember
reading that. He did feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
very uncomfortable.
I do remember
how old was he at that point? Was he in his 60s?
I think he was close.
His first role as Bond, he was like 42, 45, something like that.
Bond is usually not played by a young guy.
Yeah. I do remember him saying that. It's like, these girls keep getting younger on me, and it's not looking.
It was beginning to be pedophilia.
It's not realistic.
Well, but you can't really. the sexy spy come in with her walker.
You get a 50-year-old MILF coming walking at you.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's Bond girl will be played by B. Arthur.
Right. Don't trip on those.
Pudding.
Good night, folks.
Yeah. Time for the quiz. Number 11, Dr. No. It was slow.
It was slow,
but it was establishing.
Do you expect me to talk?
Wasn't that the start of his signature tune?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that started everything. Number 11 was Doctor. Oh no, I already said that. Number 10, License to Kill. Dalton.
See that one. This is my argument with that one. Is that it? I think at the time, because it was all about drugs, and I think it was supposed to be a public service announcement movie. I really do, because there was no threat against the Crown or nothing like that.
I think you're right, and I think it was one of the more personal ones because they kill off Felix.
Well, at least you think they did.
Yeah. Which in the books they actually kill Felix off. Well, they don't kill him off, but they have him eaten by an alligator to the point where he's got fake arms and legs, and he's just kind of a mess.
Shark.
Or a shark, maybe that's it. Number 9, Goldeneye, which was Bronson and Sean Bean as the villain.
Yeah.
That is the only Bronson I really like myself, because, again, it was a personal one. It was the
Knowing the history of where the name Goldeneye comes from, it's a little more relevance, too.
Exactly.
It was clearly a nod to Fleming himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Number 8, Octopussy.
Yeah.
Roger Moore. That's kind of how I feel about that one, too. Yeah. But I've always felt that. Well, never mind.
It'll be the 4 o'clock midday movie.
Number 7, Thunderball.
I love Thunderball.
I bet you do.
Thunderball.
Oh, that was Jeff. No, I'm sorry.
So here's a. And I hope this isn't on the quiz.
It is.
Is it? Well, then I'll shut up.
No.
So with Thunderball, Fleming wrote it with a guy named McGlory.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lawsuit against Fleming on this. So this is the only Bond movie that doesn't give nod to Ian Fleming specifically. It's McGlory because he won the lawsuit.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
And I Thunderball's great.
Thunderball's one of my favorites.
Is that the one with the boat chase through
the underwater stuff.
And the underwater stuff still holds up. Yeah. Well, number six was Casino Royale, Craig's first outing. And that to me was the bomb. That was good. I remember walking out of the theater, that one going, that's Bond.
That's how
I like Daniel Craig. Yeah, for sure.
The reboot really felt like skip. This is what James Bond should have been from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they wouldn't be able to get it through the censors.
Number five was on Her Majesty's Secret Service. George Lazenby and Diana Rigg and Telly Savalas as Blofeld. That always felt long to me. I don't know if I would have put it on the top.
It took a long
10.
Time to get action scenes and things like that.
And this may be on the quiz or something, but it seems to me on His Majesty's Secret Service there was some issue with the rights and everything. So when MGM and whoever they were fighting back and forth with who got to do James Bond, they remade on His Majesty's Secret Service with Sean Connery.
Really?
One of them is one of the movies is actually a reworking of the same movie, but with a different actor, different studio. I don't know if it's Lazenby's version or
Are you talking about when Sean Connery came back in the 80s and did Never Say Never?
That may be it.
Yeah.
I guess I could look it up.
But that was another one that I felt sad about because Connery was obviously way too old at that point.
And they put that out the same time as Octopussy, so they both released at the same.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Same year.
Anyway, so that's number five. The one thing I did like about that was the fact that they stuck with the book that Bond gets married and then she's killed off by Blofeld. Number four, my favorite Craig movie, Skyfall.
That was good.
Him and Judi Dench were perfect together.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of people threw a fit when they found out Judi Dench was going to be the new M. I had no problem with it because it's Judi Dench.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Scotland, you know, the beautiful.
It wasn't Moneypenny, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. I may have had it wrong. This, according to AI, Never Say Never Again was a remake of Thunderball.
Oh, it's Thunderball.
Really?
Okay. I knew it was a remake of one of them.
So, real quick.
It had to do with the McClory and the rights of Thunderball.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this until recently, but Albert Finney played
M.
Well, no, he didn't play. No, Albert Finney, music. He played in Skyfall, but he played like, I don't know if he was like the housekeeper or the one that kept the house up, the old guy that was out there helping Elm.
I remember that.
Yeah. This is interesting. It's because Never Say Never Again was produced by Ian Productions, was not produced by Ian Productions. It was considered unofficial. And while the plot closely follows the original, Never Say Never Again was released in 83 to compete directly with the official Roger Moore Bond film, Octopussy.
Yeah.
So it all had to do with the legal rights stuff.
And it's sad because at that point it was like, nah, Sean, you should have never went back.
Yeah. Well, and frankly, the plot had already been used. It's like, we need to see this story again?
Exactly. Skyfall, also the visuals of Scotland, and I have walked, I'm so proud to say, I have walked those steps in that where they filmed all that.
You walked 5,000 miles?
And I walked 5,000 more.
Wow.
Number three, The Spy Who Loved Me. Roger Moore's
Great
Spy
song.
Who Loved Me.
Great song.
Love the car, the Lotus that could go underwater.
Yeah. When you first saw Jaws.
That's when you first saw Jaws. But all in all, Number two, From Russia with Love. That's when Spectre first appeared. It was also was reportedly rumored that it was the last movie JFK ever saw.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what is rumored. And he absolutely loved it. I will tell you this. I don't remember much about the movie for some reason with that one, but I did. That's the last book I finished before I set the series down. I got to get back to it.
Well, don't drive into Texas then.
Oh, dear.
If that was the last movie JFK saw,
that's
the last book
I've read. Oh, okay.
I picked up what you're laying.
I just feel that's a little too soon, Ron.
I apologize to the estate.
But I will tell you, From Russia with Love, the book, was the most boring Bond book I hope he's ever written because, oh my God, that was just long.
I don't know if I'd put that up to number two.
I could not get it there. What's that, Bob?
Is this the Enigma machine?
No, this was basically just him trying to seduce a Russian defector while she was being used by the Russians. It had Kleb, the female with the spike in her shoe and but it was just and then number one, and I don't think this is surprising for anyone, Goldfinger. Yeah, which had the moment at the beginning, and I have to say I think it's pretty iconic that when he comes out of the water in the wetsuit and then just unzips
and
it,
and there's
the white tuxedo underneath, and he just stepped out of the wetsuit and grabs his drink and his smoke, and he moves on, and it's like, no, that's classic Bond. So anyway, so that's what Esquire said. Yeah. I don't agree with all of them.
I don't either.
I would probably say Goldfinger probably deserves to be number one just because it is the most iconic.
I would say it's the iconic one. Everyone remembers Ale.
Yeah, and which has that wonderful line.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, I expect you to die.
Did you know that? Now, I don't know. I haven't researched this myself, but I'd heard that the one that played Goldfinger, who actually, you know, again played in JJ, but didn't speak English. They had to dub his.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that either. No. Wow.
Everything was phonetically spelled out for him.
By then, he was actually able to speak.
Yeah, but I just love that song. But anyway, now we're.
And then the gale that was coated with gold paint.
That theory
that she died because her was
the pores and got in her pores and all that.
Wasn't that the method of death in the movie?
It was the method of death in the movie, supposedly.
Which I think they made play on that in Get Smart, if I remember, but it was blue.
Was it?
Interesting. But with the whole setup, you know, dying with the laser and everything, I just go back to Austin Powers. No, I'll just shoot. Just shoot him. Shoot him right now. No. Things have to be done right way. my sharks with lasers on them.
My husband always complains about that. Why are the villains taking all this time? Just pull a gun out and shoot the damn person. Anyway, so that's theirs. So, Julie, let's do your thing.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about.
Thank you, Julie.
I'm take it away, Julie.
So glad you did your thing. I don't know. It sounded horrible when I said it. Mm-hmm. So here's my question, gentlemen. I think if I remember correctly, the question is, favorite Bond movie, favorite Bond. Let's start with Bob.
The one that will give me all the derision you guys can dish out. Number one favorite. It's still Casino Royale with the three different directors with a fantastic music score. And I can actually tolerate Woody Allen.
In that one?
In that one.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's my favorite.
Ron, what about you, sir?
Well, you know, as I stated earlier, it's a very personal question. It's much like when someone asks what your favorite book of the Bible is, and I think they're all great. And it's very difficult to pick one that I would choose out of the rest. So I'll just say all of them, Brian.
Oh.
All of them. And every man who's ever played James Bond has just been phenomenal, and it's hard for me to choose one. So that's my answer. How about you?
No, we gotta go around.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go.
Thanks, Ron. Not sure what's going on here.
Chopped Robert liver. That's all we are, Jeff. Chopped liver.
Check that bottle. Make sure it's just water.
I know. What's going on here? Dave.
Yeah, we have chopped liver.
What was the last one?
Time to Die?
Yeah, that's my favorite because at the end of it, I said, thank God I don't have to sit through another James Bond movie for the rest of my life. Whew, that was a long haul. All my life I've been watching these movies, and finally I can stop. I can get 2.5 hours back every millennium or every couple years. No, I enjoyed the James Bond series. I do not take it quite as seriously as Mr. Finley does here because I had no idea what weapons he was using. More intrigued with the smoke bombs and the oil slicks and all the, you know, the cars. It was the cars. When you switched to a Mercedes, that was horrible.
Did you know those were real Italian shoes?
It's got to be an Aston Martin. Yes, they were. But I'll go with Goldfinger. which was my first James Bond movie, and I think there's always a special place in one's heart for the first.
Sure. I get you.
That's very sentimental.
That's nice.
And I saw it on TV, probably in some Nobel Prize movie or something. So,
and your favorite Bond?
I was a kid.
Hmm? Your favorite Bond?
I don't know. I used to be partial to Sean Connery, but I really liked Craig. I thought he did a nice job with it. So,
yeah. Okay. Jeff?
Thunderball.
Okay. Nothing wrong with a good Thunderball.
Yep. And... I'm torn between Sean Connery and Daniel Craig. I like them equally both, but I'm kind of leaning more towards I don't know, Sean Connery, I guess.
Okay,
so,
great.
And real quick, just before I forget, if you hadn't mentioned it, another one there, I think it's Netflix or HBO did a series of The Man Who Would Become Bond. It was an all history of Ian Fleming from the day he was born until...
Really?
Yeah, Man Who Become Bond.
There's always a good documentary on
it. Well, it's a movie. It's a mini-series, but it's all about his...
So it's a total fiction.
Supposedly.
By Ken...
But Ken Burns?
Ken Burns. Yeah. 18 hours
anyways,
later.
And 18 hours later.
He turned five.
Nice.
Oh, I'm sorry. What about you, Brian?
Thanks, Ron. I like them all. I like every Bond. I think it's hard to pick. It's like, you know, saying, what's your favorite child? Yeah. Yeah, I can do it too, Ron.
Wow.
No.
I think the more interesting question would be, who's your favorite Bond knockoff?
But to me... Okay. for me, my favorite Bond movie would have to be... I really, really, really liked Fear Eyes Only. It's the only Roger Moore that I really... Because I thought, wow, he really could be Bond in this film. He's not just tongue-in-cheeking the whole thing. But that was for years and years and years until I saw Skyfall. And to me, Skyfall was just...
It was.
That was my all-time
Skyfall
favorite.
Was very good.
And as for favorite Bond, there's always that affinity for the first. Sean Connery created it, but Daniel Craig. Craig walked into that role in Casino Royale, when he was poisoned during the card game, and he was rushing to the car, and all, I mean, it's like, now this is Bond. This is some good stuff, you know. And it was tense without the chase and the whatever, you know. It was a great moment.
One of the things I noticed that from the earlier Bonds to now, before they had all at the end the big finale scene, you'd have all kinds of armies facing armies. But they started getting away from that.
Yeah,
I think maybe even during the Pierce Brosnan. Era, because you didn't have all these big armies fighting each other anymore. The two groups.
Yeah. But, yep, I agree.
Oh yeah, I don't know if this is on a quiz. I thought this was very interesting.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have.
He brought a piece of paper.
Well, no. These are actors who are.
It appears to be a letter from Ian.
It is.
Dearest Jeff,
these are actors that were offered Bond.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if is that.
No, well, either way, you might be helping out people.
Okay. All right, well, gosh. Well, then maybe I shouldn't.
There's nothing on there about that.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I had heard.
Clint Eastwood said, no, it's got to be, should be a British. Liam Neeson, who said, I don't want to because, I'll get tied into this. Ewan McGregor, same thing. I don't want to do
this. Well, he was already Ben Kenobi.
Yeah. Mel Gibson.
Ugh.
Hugh Jackman. Cary Grant was offered originally for
I could see that.
But he said he felt he was too old. Burt Reynolds?
No.
I could have never said.
Michael.
That's all I hear is that laugh.
Don DeLuise would be cute.
Don DeLuise would be cute.
I could see Burt as a villain.
Yeah, I could see.
Michael Gambon, who felt he was not handsome enough.
Who?
Michael Gambon. What's his name?
I don't know who it is.
Oh, Michael Gambon. He played Dumbledore.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and here's one. I don't know if you knew this. Adam West. Adam West.
I did not know that.
I did know that about Adam West. I seem to recall that somewhere. One of Adam West's interviews, he rambled on about being James Bond.
Wow.
Burt Reynolds could have been a Bond. Lonnie Anderson could have been a Bond girl.
Bond girl.
DeLuise could have been either a villain or something. I mean, it writes itself, and he got Buddy Hackett throwing him in. I mean, right?
Throwing Dean Martin and Sammy Davis as a couple of assassins.
And Pete Wright.
Actually,
That would have been fun.
That would have been something right there.
Yeah.
They could have done the Casino Royale, the first one.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would have been hilarious. Yeah.
Rickles could have been Goldfinger.
I love it. Yeah, just bring in a whole bunch of villains. Guest star villains. I love that. So I grew up with James Bond. James Bond was one of my biggies. My father loved James Bond, so I always have had a huge affinity, much like Ron.
All of it.
Yeah. I've loved every bit of it. But I don't know where else we're going to go with this conversation unless anybody else have any last words before we do the quiz.
Did you know Sean Connery gave up a promising bodybuilding career to play James Bond?
No.
Yeah, he was actually in a bodybuilding contest.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Which is funny when you look at his shirtless scenes versus Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Oh, man, when he came out of that, Daniel Craig came out of that water. oh, Lord.
Can we...
I'm not. I'm just saying he was compared to the other Bonds.
I mean, a new topic, Jeff.
He was definitely a fit man.
It was like
he was a fit man.
You should have seen his eyes, folks. He was a fit man.
I was saying it's time to send the wives out for popcorn. Okay? I can't watch this, honey. You just move on.
I thought
this
you were
is not
say
what
when,
men look like.
I thought you were going to say when Halle Berry walked out of the water, but no, you went right for Daniel
good.
Craig.
That
but,
was good too.
Well, that was.
You'd also have that with another. Lindsay coming in zipped.
You have a poster of Daniel Craig and John Wayne
and Farrah Fawcett.
Austin Powers.
Liberace.
With the white trim too.
That was
all the same ones.
Oh, Austin Powers.
Oh, dear Lord. Business as usual on the porch here, folks. Business as usual. Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
I'm done.
Yes, you are.
Oh, Mary, don't listen to this one.
Yeah. Well, I don't have much else to say about it either, other than I'm very interested to see where they go next with Bond. I've heard rumors that Bond could be a woman. I've heard that he could be an African American.
That doesn't work for me.
I'm not going to comment on that.
I mean, at the risk of being misogynistic, to me, it's like, no, that just doesn't.
No. I agree because to me, and I know this is, I'll be the one, I'll take the bullet on this one. That to me would be like if somebody said, oh, we're making a new Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
And she's going to be a man.
And it's going to be a man. I understand all of it. I understand where people come from. But in my opinion, some things are the way they are for a reason.
Characters are characters, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got to stay that way.
I think whoever they end up getting is going to have to be someone that's not known at all. Someone that's trying to break into the business that doesn't mind, there had been some shout-outs, and I don't know the actor's name, but an African-American.
He was in the show Luther.
Elvis. I think it'd be great, but there's
from the Marvel Universe.
A lot of possibilities out there. I think it'll go on. I they make money. In fact,
See, though, I don't think Hollywood's in that headspace right now. They will not just cast somebody unknown.
Right. I was going to say that's one issue.
I agree with you.
I think they might fight a tough time for having anybody.
Well,
pigeonholed.
Well, and I think it'd be one thing, in terms of cultural diversity. Today the United Kingdom is a very culturally diverse place. So having Bond, a black Bond,
Middle Eastern Bond, or
whatever, that's probably not that shocking. But to change the gender, I think would just be an issue.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know if they would ever go with, like Ron said, not going with a unknown, because I think you need a James Bond should be at least in his 30s.
You need a hook.
Yeah.
And so you're going to cast somebody who's been in town a while, or has been around a while, even though we may not have been paying attention to him.
Right.
It's going to be someone who's put in their time.
Well, yeah, because even Daniel Craig, I didn't know. I'd heard the name, but I didn't really know him until he became Bond.
Right.
Yeah, he did a couple of things before that. Yeah.
Right, so I think it's going to be someone like that, where someone we've seen in the background just
He hasn't been. Which, by the way, Daniel Craig also has a series of movies out since these Bond movies.
Oh.
Knives Out.
Knives Out, fantastic movie.
Oh, great. I love the Knives Out.
Knives Out movies are great movies. Yeah. Highly recommend
The last one, though, went right to Netflix, right? Did it actually ever go to the theaters?
No, I don't think it went
to Netflix. Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy his accent.
Yeah, it's Kentucky. Okay.
But I find that
you're trying.
Fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I kind of find it to be fun. It's like, oh, that's bad, but I'll go with it.
And they make fun of it, too. I mean,
they do make fun of it.
Dick Van Dyke can do, you know, Cockney for Mary Poppins.
He was amazing, but that's beside the point. Anyway, gentlemen,
all right,
want to do a quiz? You want to see how many questions Jeff screwed for me?
Sure.
Screwed up?
Sure.
All right.
See if any of us were paying attention.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm joking with you.
Wallets are $357.
I'll probably get that one wrong.
Was that the right
question? Yeah, that's right.
I'm not even sure I got the right name of it.
As usual, it's a Brian quiz. So
it was a Glockenspiel 52.
A Glockenspiel.
It was the same person who made
his
Count Chocula.
His left shoe in scene 6.
Yes. All right, let's start. Hey, let's start with Ron.
No prizes?
Oh, yeah.
I was gonna say, I mean, I'm not playing no quiz without
knowing
what Jeff's
going to win.
And
Bob, did you want those to be prizes, or you were just showing them
whatever
off?
You want to.
Well, this will be a prize. Are you giving away? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, really?
This will be a prize.
All right. Wow.
Great postcards.
Well, what is it, Brian?
But it's James Bond.
It's short. Hold it up to the microphone.
Hold the microphone.
I suppose the audience can see that.
Yeah. Here's James Bond. It is. Bob has donated these wonderful cards, 100 cards, postcards of James Bond.
50th or 60th anniversary.
I think that's the
50th. 50th
anniversary.
Wow. Yeah, stuff like there's GoldenEye posters.
It's like from the posters.
Casino Royale, so it's obviously Daniel Craig. It's
good find, Bob.
It's a very good find. It's very nice of you to do. So that's one of the prizes for this.
Wow.
And the other one.
What else will Jeff be going home with?
Well,
I'm kidding.
We're going to stick.
I don't think you are.
Wow.
We're sticking with the Little Debbies. And I thought
it's springtime.
Big Deb. Well, no. I thought, what?
He's cleaning out the pantry. It's Valentine's
Day. Yes, it's Valentine's Day. What Little Debbie.
Christmas tree.
What Little Debbie cake could be actually be a Bond girl? And I came up with.
Fudge round.
Swiss squirrel.
Swiss roll.
Honey buns.
Okay.
I was going to say oatmeal cream pie, but that's another podcast altogether.
Ooh, and you got the
banana twins.
You got the big pack, too.
And it's family size. So whoever wins these,
you get nine buns, folks.
You get.
Expiration date of April 21st, so we got a little bit of time.
Got to eat them fast.
and of course, she's in her.
She's in her traditional blue and white check with her hat. She's got that look on her face, like, is this picture over yet? There's an interesting ad on the back. I have not seen these. The Little Debbie Old Fashioned Donuts. Try them today.
Oh, nice.
McKee Foods.
I will do that.
I wonder if they're like the Dunkin' Sticks only round.
They kind of look like it. Yeah.
These? Yeah. These are actually really good.
No, the donuts.
The donuts.
Okay. Kind of look like,
wow, nine buns individually wrapped.
Cinnamon bun covered in sugar.
Big
how can you
honey
go wrong?
Buns.
Oh, man.
All right. I didn't take cinnamon when I had
it. Let's do it.
I just had cinnamon. But anyway.
There's no cinnamon?
Pack. No, it's just honey.
May I see the box?
Sure. You say goodbye to it now. All right. Are you ready, Ron?
I'm ready as I'm going to be.
All right. Here's question number one.
One.
How did Bond's parents die? A.
They were shot in the...
Cinnamon's in there.
Coming out of a movie theater, and the pearls went all over the floor.
A. No.
They fell
wrong.
Slowly.
I'm sorry.
How did Bond's parents die? A car crash. B, a mountain climbing accident. C, they were poisoned and murdered.
Give me B, Brian.
A mountain climbing accident. Bob, car crash, mountain climbing accident, poisoned, murder.
I think they went down the hill.
Down the hill. All right. And
I think it was murder.
Mr. Bond.
And Jeff.
Oh, gosh. It was in Skyfall, too.
A car crash, a mountain climbing accident, and they were poisoned, murdered.
I think it's just about a mountain climbing accident.
Mountain climbing accident. Yes. So, Ron.
Murder was so delicious.
Somebody cut the rope, though.
Number two, we're going to start with Bob. Here we go, Bob. Which Bond movie has the longest runtime up to The World Is Not Enough?
Oh, dear.
So not these newer ones, but Up Until the World Is Not Enough, which one had the longest runtime? Was it A, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, B, Thunderball, or C, From Russia with Love?
Can I have movies again?
On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Thunderball, or From Russia with Love?
Thunderball.
All right. And Dave, which had the longest runtime?
Actual runtime or the perceived runtime?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm assuming.
I'm going to go with Thunderball as well.
Okay.
Not Thunderball.
And
let's go Thunderball, Brian.
What? On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
It just seemed like it was long.
No, it was actually long.
Really?
Yeah. Dave, you're up next. Number three. Which Bond movie has the shortest runtime Up Until the World Is Not Enough? A, You Only Live Twice, B, Man with a Golden Gun, or C, Goldfinger?
I'm going to go with Goldfinger.
Yeah, all right.
I think Goldfinger.
All right.
Hal, let's go with Goldfinger, Brian.
And Bob?
Goldfinger.
Yep, Goldfinger had the shortest runtime up until then. I don't know if anything's... All right, oh, three-way tie, and Dave's sneaking up the back. And we are to Jeff. Jeff, which country refers to James Bond as Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Is it A, Japan, B, Taiwan, or C, South Korea?
Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I love saying that. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
You know what? I'm going to say, you said South Korea, right?
Japan, Taiwan, South Korea.
South Korea.
All right.
I'm going to go with Japan, Brian.
All right. Bob.
Japan.
Okay.
I think it's Japan as well.
It is Japan.
For some reason, I think I just saw that somewhere.
Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
But it sounds like something cutesy that,
The little Japanese.
The country of Hello Kitty would do.
tiny everything.
Tiny everything.
No, we expect you to die.
Number five.
We're getting canceled.
I know. Number five.
Don't
no,
move, we cancel volunteers.
What was the first Bond movie to win an Oscar? Was it A, From Russia with Love?
Great question.
B, Thunderball, or C, Live and Let Die? From Russia with Love, Thunderball, Live and Let Die.
So are we talking any Oscar?
Any category? Oscar, just win an Oscar, the first Oscar.
What are my choices again?
From Russia with Love, Thunderball, Live and Let Die.
Give me Live and Let Die, Brian.
All right, Bob.
Thunderball.
All right, Dave. From Russia with Love, Thunderball, Live and Let Die.
Thunderball had special effects. Live and Let Die had the music. I'll go with Live and Let Die.
All right. And
I think
Jeff.
It was Thunderball. It was a cinematography type thing, I think.
Thunderball. That was you three?
Yeah. I said Live and Let Die.
Oh, you said Live and Let. So it was those, you two?
Just those two.
All right. So Bob.
Because I think
Jeff.
The Live and Let Die won an Oscar for song.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, McCartney won that. Yeah, that Oscar.
Word Smith came
but he should have gone with. And plus, I don't know the chronology. He didn't read those. He didn't read those movies in chronological order.
No,
I have no idea.
Bob. Bob, you're next. What was Dr. No's first name? Was it A, Julian?
Fred.
B, Julian. Fred No. I'm Fred No. Was it A, Julian, B, Julius, or C, Juan?
What was the first one?
Jesus. Julian.
Julian.
Okay.
From Deep Space Nine.
Okay. A, Julian, B, Julius, or C, Juan? I am Dr. Juan. No.
I'll go with Julian.
Okay. Julian, Julius, or Juan?
I think his middle name was No. His last name was No. His first name was Bozo. Was Bozo No No?
Well, that should do well.
Control the room, Brian.
You haven't been let out of the house lately, have you, Jeff?
What was Julian, right?
Julian, Julius, or Juan?
I say Julius.
Okay.
I'm going to go Julius, Brian.
Ron and Jeff got that. It was Julius. Yes.
Well, last time
as in orange.
Okay. Dave, you're next. In which film do we get to see Blofeld's face first? First time we see his face. A, Thunderball. B, You Only Live Twice. Or C, From Russia with Love.
From Russia with Love.
And oops. Jeff. Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, or From Russia with Love?
From Russia with Love.
And
you. The JFK film, Brian.
From Russia with Love.
With Love. Yeah,
and Bob, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, or From Russia with Love?
From Russia.
You Only Live Twice was the first time we saw the face.
It was Halloween anyway, so.
Who's next?
Jeff. Dr. Doom mask.
Jeff.
Yep.
What Bond movie was the basis for the very popular Nintendo 64 first-person player game? Jesus. Was it A, GoldenEye, B, License to Kill, or C, Die Another Day?
Oh, jeez. Nintendo?
64.
Mm-hmm. 64. Nintendo 64.
The Cube.
GoldenEye, License to Kill, Die Another Day. I can tell you I
have. I'm saying License to Kill.
And...
GoldenEye, Brian.
And Bob.
GoldenEye.
It was GoldenEye. Yep.
Even I knew that one.
One of the most stolen cartridge in for the Nintendo.
Oh, really?
Target, mm-hmm. Yeah. They were able to crack that box like nothing.
Ron and Bob are tied in the lead. Jeff is one behind.
I like
and
them all.
Dave. You're still playing. There. You're still playing. Number nine, who are we at here? Who just had the Golden Eye? You had it. So, Ron, for which Bond movie did Duran Duran perform the theme song? A, Octopussy, B, License to Kill, or C, A View to a Kill?
That would be A View to a Kill, Brian.
And Bob?
A View.
C.
And
View.
There we go. See, I give easy ones once in a while.
That's what she said.
I'm not even sure who Duran Duran is. I was just following their lead.
Bob, you're next. In Octopussy, what does Roger Moore's Bond do when he comes face to face with a jungle tiger? A, climb up a palm tree. B, wrestle it into submission. Or C, tells it to sit.
I go with the outrageous one and tells it to sit.
All right. Dave.
I'm going to do C, too.
Tells it to
tells
sit.
Tells it to sit.
And
yeah, what the hell? It tells it to sit.
It tells it to sit and it sits. Yep. Nope. Nothing
any
corny about
cat.
That, is
any
there?
Any pussycat that he told that to would do it.
Dave.
Yes.
Number 11. Which actor was the oldest when he made his Bond debut? Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan, or Timothy Dalton?
Trick question, I think. I'm still going to say Roger Moore.
All right.
Roger Moore.
All right.
Give me Timothy Dalton.
All right. And Bob.
Roger Moore. Not less. Moore.
It was Roger Moore. Yep. So Bob, Dave, and Jeff gets that.
I was thinking it possibly could have been Pierce because he just looked younger.
Yeah. I thought, yeah, I would, that's what I would have done.
Who's
next?
Better
yeah.
hand at spray painting their face tan.
All right. Number 12. What did Roger Moore refuse to do in all of his Bond movies, leaving that work to a stuntman? Was it A, drive a car, B, run, or C, throw a punch?
Oh, I'd say run.
And...
I'm going to say run.
And Bob, drive a car, run, or throw a punch?
Run.
I'm going to say run just because that way if we all get it wrong, no harm from follow.
You all got it right. Yes, he did not like the way he looked when he ran. And
who does?
So...
Talk to Cruise.
I'm an actor.
You have seen Tom Cruise.
Yeah. We're at Ron again, number 13.
Oh, boy.
Who turned down the Bond role
Adam
at the
West.
Very beginning of the film franchise? David Niven, Cary Grant, or Sean Connery?
Cary Grant, Brian.
Bob.
I'm sorry.
Can I hear them again, please?
Sure. David Niven, Cary Grant, or Sean Connery? Who turned down the role originally when the film franchise started?
The second one.
Cary Grant? Okay. Dave?
I can't use my, I'm Batman. Cary Grant.
Jeff?
I think it was David. No, it was Cary Grant.
Yes, yes. All right.
All the others
nice job.
Accepted the role of Bond at some point. So.
Yeah.
Or at least said they did.
All right, Bob, right?
Yes.
Bob, okay.
I turned it down, too.
Which Bond villain had a third nipple?
Was it the villain? I thought Bond did.
No. Well, he put one on there to say, oh, look what I have, too.
Okay. For some reason, I remember Roger Moore talking about his third nipple.
Was it A, Dr. No, B, Rosa Klebb, or C, Scaramanga?
Oh, Scaramanga.
And Dave.
Well, I know which one it wasn't. I'll go with Scaramanga.
All right.
Scaramanga.
And...
Scaramanga.
Yep, yep, yep. You got it right. All right.
Boom, thank you, Venture, Venture Brothers.
Yeah. All right. Who's you next? Number 15.
Apparently don't know Venture Brothers either.
Who sings the theme song for Skyfall? A, Billie Eilish. B, Adele. Or C, Sam Smith? Wow, he's really, really focusing on this question.
I want to say Eilish, but I'm going to go with Adele.
Okay. Jeff, Billie Eilish, Adele, or Sam Smith?
For which one? Skyfall?
Skyfall.
Oh, God. I have no... Billie Eilish.
No, not Julie Andrews.
No, I know that. I know it's not Sam Smith, but I don't know. I'm going to go Billie Eilish, Brian.
All right. And Bob, Billie Eilish, Adele, or Sam Smith?
I'm going to say Sam Smith.
It was Adele.
Oh my gosh.
It was one of those things. It's like Eilish is a little edgier.
Well, and all three of them did. Number six, by the way, I did play that song on my late night show, Nightlight on 94.3.
So, same shameless plug.
Monroe's Rewind. Who's next?
Jeff.
Jeff.
Me.
Jeff.
I got me.
What's our, who's got a shot here, Brian?
Ron, you've got 10 points. Bob, you've got 11. Dave, you've got 10. And Jeff, you've got 10. Cool.
So it's still anybody's game.
It's anybody's game here.
Wow.
It could be tied up. It's Bob's to lose. And I have a tie question, a tied question.
A tiebreaker?
Tiebreaker.
I'm impressed.
We all ended up getting there.
I thought I was going to.
Number 16.
Lose this number 16. Here we go, Jeff.
Here we go.
Someone about the gun.
No pressure.
How much was Ian Fleming's net worth at the time of his death? Was it A, $10 million, B, $15 million, or C, $20
million? Remember, he was a gambler and a boozer.
$10
million? And I hear he is a loser. So call the plow king.
Yeah.
You say 10, 15, or 20? Is that the
10,
number?
15, or 20 million?
I'm going to say 15.
And...
I'm going to go $10 million, Brian.
Right. And Bob?
I'll see that and raise it to $20 million.
$20 million. And Dave?
I'll go with 10.
The 10 millions did it, so which means, wow.
We got a three-way
tie. We have a three-way tie.
Woo!
Wow.
All right,
and
folks.
It ain't me.
This is for those three, Ron,
and
Bob,
he had notes and everything.
And Dave.
Well, he didn't have notes while the quiz.
Well, he had a letter from Ian Fleming is what he had. here we go.
You could sell that.
How much is the Ian Fleming estate worth
as of
2024?
As of 2024.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was it A, $100 million, B, none of your business, C, $150 million? And we'll start with Ron. $100 million, none of your business, or $150 million?
Trying to think when they sold the rights. Give me $150 million, Brian.
Mm. All right. I wish I could. And Bob, $100 million, none of your business, or $150
million? None of your business.
Get off his lawn.
I guess we'll end this right now, and I'll say $100 million.
So all right.
We each take a different one.
It was none of your business.
No way.
It was.
They will not disclose it.
He's Scottish, for God's sake.
So congratulations. Bob got his cards back.
Bob got your cards
and
back.
And the honey buns.
All right, we need to wrap this up.
Yeah, we need to wrap this up. Anyway.
Thanks, Bob. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much. I want to thank my guys here on the porch. By the way, the episode title for this one was called Shaken, Not Stirred. Anyway, so
good title.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone here. I want to thank Ellis Library. And I would also like to thank the Monroe Community Media for helping us drop that. Formerly Impact, no longer Impact.
Ooh, that's Monroe, what it is, Monroe Community Media.
Oh, is that your important announcement?
No, I didn't have an important
announcement.
Fairly blinded by the golden goodness of these.
Anyway, folks, next time, our next episode is amusement parks. Until then, we're going to say goodbye to you. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And, of course, stay off our lawn.
I admire your courage, Miss...
Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck. Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
Who are you?
Bond. James Bond.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Who are you?
My name is Bond. James Bond.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
My name is Bond. James Bond.
Bond? James Bond?
My name is Bond. James Bond.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
My name is Bond. James Bond.
Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
My name is Bond. James Bond.
The name is Bond. James Bond. My real name is Bond. James Bond. You must take my word for it.
Who are you?
Bond. James Bond.
Bond.
Start ringing.
James Bond.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
Bond. James Bond.
Bond. James Bond.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Bond. James Bond.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Bond. James Bond.
Bond. James Bond.